Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you. Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show. While our long format episodes explore one hiking trail and one national park, one park at a time, Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
That's right, and this Trail Mix episode is all about the ring of volcanoes around the Pacific Ocean known as the Ring of Fire.
Okay, so how long have you been a fan of Johnny Cash? Ever since you saw Reese Witherspoon play June Carter Cash.
I was trying to make a joke. I was like, you mean the guy that hands out money at the ATM? Johnny Cash?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not good.
Tired. Delirious.
I am delirious.
The Ring of Fire, obviously not referring to the Johnny Cash song.
No,
but referring to the ring of volcanoes and mountains around the Pacific Ocean. How many of these do you think you can name right now?
I'm gonna say 5.
Let's go.
Okay. Mount Rainier. Mount Adams.
Keep going.
Mount St. Helens.
Okay.
The Three Sisters.
Okay.
I think Mount Shasta.
You are right about Shasta.
Okay. All right.
Okay, moving on. Tell us a little bit more, Mike.
The Ring of Fire refers to not an actual circular shape, but more like a horseshoe shape of volcanoes, many of which are underwater, and earthquake sites along the rim of the Pacific Ocean. For some global context around earthquakes and volcanoes, 90% of all earthquakes on Earth have occurred along the Ring of Fire, and the ring contains about 75% of all the Earth's active volcanoes.
The Ring of Fire horseshoe stretches about 25,000 miles. That's about 40,000 kilometers. It stretches from New Zealand up through Japan, over into North America, and down into South America. I want you to take a guess right now. How many volcanoes do you think this entire group contains?
500.
Close. It is 452.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the Ring of Fire is here to show us that most of the Earth's active volcanoes are underwater, mm-hmm. below the surface, just like Mike's emotions. There are
deeper than I ever dreamed of.
Exactly. There are some active volcanoes as well as dormant volcanoes in the Antarctic area that could be considered part of the Ring of Fire, perhaps even closing the ring, making it into a circular shape, but they are not widely considered part of this group, so the horseshoe remains.
Sorry, Antarctica, you can't sit with us.
That's right.
You wore sweatpants 2 days in a row.
Those rules aren't even real. They were real that day I wore a vest. Well, that vest was disgusting.
Let's talk about Mount Rainier and the volcanoes of the Cascades. When we hiked Mount Rainier, we were very lucky in that we had a 3-peak day, or was it a 4-peak day? Because we were able to, while hiking, see Mount St. Helens and Mount Hood. All of these mountains...
Did we also see Mount Adams?
We did.
Okay, mm-hmm. great.
And Mount Adams. All of these mountains are also volcanoes that are part of the Ring of Fire, and they are all still considered active, and they've been active for over 12 million years.
All of these volcanoes, right here... active,
mm-hmm.
especially these three.
We
Rainier, Mount St. Helens, and
mm-hmm.
Hood,
mm-hmm.
definitely active.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Mount St. Helens is the most active volcano in the lower 48 of the U.S.
Yeah.
Mount St. Helens had erupted in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
You were here. You remember. I don't, because I had not been born yet for another at least 15 years.
Oh, is
and
that
so,
we're in our twink era right now?
It seems.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For obvious, mm-hmm. it seems. So,
you're looking like, you know, someone from NSYNC fell off the bus right now.
What you remember about the Mount St. Helens eruption since you saw it live on the news.
I wasn't alive. I wasn't born.
She lied.
I was born in 1984.
I know,
everybody.
Sweetie. We know.
My social security number is.
We get it. We get it. But when did you learn about the Mount St. Helens eruption?
I don't know. Like the first time that that came into the field of my vision. Middle school, maybe? Like it was talked about? I don't know.
I see. Okay.
Maybe when we talked about volcanoes at some point in elementary school.
I learned about it in the first grade. I think it was because they were like trying to use current events to teach about volcanoes. Because
you were born in 1790 and they were like...
Correct.
You don't become a witch in the first grade for at least 100, almost 100 years.
But I remember our teacher made us do like a whole report on Mount St. Helens and like some sort of facet of it about the eruption or whatever.
Mm.
I found it to be interesting and I never forgot about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the last time all of these erupted. Mount St. Helens technically erupted between 2004 and 2008. However, the most significant and recent eruption was that big one in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
The last time Mount Hood erupted was in 1781 with some smaller volcanic activity in 1793. So that was right in the heart of the American Revolutionary War. And the last time Mount Rainier erupted was 1450, right in the heart of the European Renaissance.
Mm.
And Mike was there for all of them.
True.
Yeah. So what is important to note is that all of them are currently capable of future eruptions and all have the potential to be enormous deadly eruptions.
Mount Rainier is considered a stratovolcano, which means that it has ash layers and lava flows. Given the time since its last eruption, Mount Rainier, if it were ever to erupt, would be catastrophic. A lot of people live and work in the area around Mount Rainier, as well as Mount Hood and Mount St. Helens, and it would be a deadly emergency situation. Specifically with Mount Rainier, the danger comes from the glacial systems it contains. Mount Rainier contains the single largest glacial system in the contiguous United States. Therefore, lava flow would cause enormous glacial melt and mudslides for miles, and flooding in all of the surrounding areas.
If the national parks are brought to us by, say it with me, Mike, erosion, then the Ring of Fire is sponsored by plate tectonics, or the giant slabs of the Earth's crust that move around and once fit nicely together, but have been broken up into puzzle pieces.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Pangea. She's a lava flow queen.
That's right. That's right. And in fact, plate tectonics is what defines the Ring of Fire.
Mm.
As in, the only reason you can be part of the Ring of Fire is if you became a volcano because of this plate tectonics stuff. Boundaries in plate tectonics happen when tectonic plates come in contact. When plates crash into one another, a convergent boundary occurs. Convergent boundaries are often associated with subduction zones, not to be confused with seduction zones. This happens when the heavier tectonic plate moves underneath the lighter one. This creates a deep trench. The pressure and movement created from these trenches also help to form islands and mountain ranges. Some examples of this, the Aleutian Islands in Alaska run parallel to the Aleutian Trench. Also, these Aleutian Islands also contain 27 of the United States' 65 historically active volcanoes.
What does historically active mean?
I'm so glad you asked. Well, an active volcano means that there is scientific evidence of activity, like a lava flow or an ash layer. A historically active volcano means that there has been an eruption since we started recording history. So, are Mount Hood, Mount St. Helens, and Mount Rainier considered historically active?
Yes.
That is correct. And of course, you knew that because you were there for all of them. An example of
that's
the...
That's me.
That's right. An example of the...
That's me.
Oh, go for it. You kept saying that's you. Like, I'm like, you're just adding to the joke, gal.
An example of the trench mountain range relationship can be found in South America with the Andes Mountains that run parallel to the Peru-Chile trench.
Another type of tectonic boundary is the divergent boundary. This is when tectonic plates pull apart. This creates seafloor spreading and can lead to the development of high ridges on the ocean floor. The East Pacific Rise is an example of this, and it's caused by the divergent boundary created by the Pacific Plate and the Cocos Plate, as well as the Nazca Plate and the Antarctic Plate.
Another type of tectonic boundary that contributes to the Ring of Fire is the transform boundary.
And we don't mean the peace one experiences when they finally set parameters for themselves and those around them.
Mm-hmm. A transform boundary is when one tectonic plate moves across another. This creates fault lines. A major line along the Ring of Fire is the San Andreas Fault that runs along the west coast of North America and remains one of the most active fault lines that has been the cause of many of the earthquakes in California on the American west coast.
And finally, the Ring of Fire has some hotspots, which are simply defined as places in the Earth's mantle where heat rises. This causes magma to rise, push through the Earth's crust, and form volcanoes. Since hotspots are unrelated to tectonic plates or movement, volcanoes that were created from hotspot activity are not considered part of the Ring of Fire, even though there are some hotspot volcanoes along the Ring of Fire. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! Finally, let's talk about some of the most active volcanoes on the Ring of Fire. While there are 452 total volcanoes along the Ring of Fire, only 340 of them are considered active. One of the more active volcanoes in the ring is Mount Ruapehu in New Zealand. It has minor eruptions almost every year and a major eruption once every 50 years.
There's also Mount Fuji, Japan's most iconic and tallest mountain. It erupted last in 1707. Mike was there for that one too. Mm-hmm. But a recent earthquake has moved Mount Fuji into what they refer to as a critical state. Japan is also known as one of the most tectonically active places on the globe and is responsible for about 10% of the world's volcanic activity. So much plate tectonics.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, we knew that plate tectonics were involved.
Of course.
Right? Because anytime we get like mountains or, I mean, you know, go listen to our whole thing about the science of mountain ranges or the science of the Tetons. Right? We explore like what happens when plates, you know, like
collide
and how they create mountains and what all that looks like. But all of these were formed by these plate tectonics.
So what can the Ring of Fire teach us, particularly about climate change? First thing to know is that volcanic eruptions, while they often explode with lava, actually contribute to global cooling due to the release of sulfur dioxide. This creates a layer of reflective aerosols in the atmosphere, which blocks sunlight and contributes to short-term cooling of the Earth. An example of this was in 1816 with the eruption of Mount Tambora. This year is called the Year Without a Summer because of the cooling created in the northern hemisphere of the Earth due to the volcanic eruption.
Volcanoes also release carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. The release of these gases pales in comparison to, say, the burning of fossil fuels, so scientists are able to use the volcanic emissions as a baseline to compare them to human-made greenhouse emissions. Studying the volcanic activity of the Ring of Fire also helps scientists to understand patterns of ocean temperatures connected to rain and hurricanes, as well as the global carbon cycle. But perhaps the most valuable insight comes from being able to sort out the difference between the Earth's natural climate change evolution and the human-made component of the climate change evolution, and how they actually compare.
The sources for today's episode include National Geographic Society, the National Oceans and Atmospheric Administration, and the United States Geological Survey.
And let's end this trail mix with a game. All right, Mike, are you ready for the game?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do anything except listen closely. We're playing, is it a volcano in the Ring of Fire, or is it an outdoor brand?
Great.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. I think I have about 13 or 14 of these.
Damn.
Erebus.
A volcano.
That is correct. It's mm-hmm. in Antarctica. Patagonia.
It's an outdoor brand.
That is correct. It's an outdoor brand. Rinjani.
It's a volcano.
It is a volcano in Indonesia. Tambora.
It's a volcano.
Correct. We mentioned it earlier. It's mm-hmm. also in Indonesia. Cotopaxi.
It is both a volcano and a brand.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Look at you go. Do mm-hmm. you know where that volcano is?
It is in Guatemala.
Ecuador.
Ecuador. We talked about this in our season 7 trail map.
That is correct.
It's part of my game.
That is right.
Mm-hmm.
Fjällräven.
It's a volcano.
Incorrect. It's an outdoor brand out of Sweden or Norway. One of those. Yeah. Krakatoa.
It's a volcano.
That is right. And it's out of Indonesia. Terraware.
It's a outdoor brand.
Incorrect.
Damn.
It is a volcano out of New Zealand.
Mm.
Spur.
It's an outdoor brand.
Wrong.
Ah,
it is a volcano in Alaska.
Okay.
Montane.
It's an outdoor brand.
That's right. It is an outdoor brand. Redoubt.
It's a volcano.
That is right. Do you know where?
In the Aleutian Islands.
Correct. In Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Pacaya.
It's a volcano.
That's right. Do you know where?
In the Aleutian Islands.
Incorrect. In Guatemala. Kamak.
It's an outdoor brand.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Out of Texas. And there you go. That was, is it a volcano in the Ring of Fire or is it an outdoor brand?
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Scalios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.